That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, I told you. We'll talk about context. It's important that, you know, there's a lot of opinions. In my last class, the subject was truth, so it kind of goes together. In the book, there's a lot of opinions about things. In Christianity and in church, we spew a lot of opinions. So there's a lot of opinionated messages. There's a lot of advice that we give versus spiritual direction. There's a lot of things that we say that are, you know, built on opinions, which is like the sand. You know, the Bible talks about building your house on the sand versus building on the rock. Built on the sand, winds and waves come and knock the house over. It's built on the sand. So it's important that when you are studying the word or studying the scripture, that you make sure you find what's leading the truth. You find the truth in it. I can take scripture after scripture and give you an opinionated message. You can take a scripture and validate your opinion. I can take a scripture and validate my opinion, and then we can go back and forth with opinions. But the truth, and rightfully divided word, the truth, there is no opinion. There is no other way to do it. It's absolute. And so verse 14, it says, of these things, put thee in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit. You see that? Words to no profit. Verse 14, but the subverting of the hearers. So it's saying right now, you know, that they be mindful not to strive after just good words, a good little talking, right? Right, there's good little talking, but there's no profit. You ever heard a message that ain't help you at all? Huh? You ever heard, it sounded good, and people got up and started clapping, and you looked around and asked what they was clapping about, right? But it no profit. Didn't profit you. Subverting of the hearers. But verse 15, this is the part you know, it says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So let me read a little bit in here. It's talking about context. It says, what does I mean by context? Context refers to that which goes before and that which follows after. It's very dangerous to be biblically selective. I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. People can be biblically selective, and they select a scripture to preach their message, but they're not preaching a message. I can't take something that Brother Earl has written down all the way to the T in his whole idea and take a paragraph out of what he said and try to make my own situation, because there was a meaning in his whole context. Are you understanding me? When you're reading these scriptures, when you got the book of Acts, you got Romans, and then you got Corinthians, and you keep going on Galatians, all these different places. These are letters from Paul to these churches. Paul didn't go to, but these letters to them. So now when he writes in certain contexts, there's some things you got to understand. Because Galatia wasn't like Rome. Right. Romans, we didn't know Romans. No, that's Rome. Mm-hmm. That's people in Rome. They call them Romans, like Americans. Mm-hmm. Right? And so now Galatia and Rome and Ephesus, these are different places. Well, you can see that right now. That Baton Rouge is not like Gonzales, and not like Denham. It's not like Donaldsville. It's not like New Orleans. It's not like Lake Charles. Not like Xandria. Not like Prairieville. They're not the same. Same vicinity, but they're not the same. We're the same state. We're still talking the same state. I'm talking about you go to Texas and Houston. You got Houston, and you got Dallas. You got San Antonio in the same state, right? Don't talk about going up north somewhere. Don't talk about going out the country. It's totally different things, different concepts, different cultures, different understanding. The words mean different things. Down here, we like to say cold drink. I go to Ohio, they call it pop. Some of them places call it fizz. So what the fizz? Then they talk about us. Well, any drink could be a cold drink. No, it's a cold drink. Give me a cold drink. What kind of cold drink? I've had somebody ask me, like, what kind of cold drink you want? You want ice water? No, I want a cold drink. Oh, no, give me a pop. but context. Everybody say context. So context is very important, because you can take things out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say. I'll give you a good scripture. Can I give y'all a good scripture that we know? And there's a principle in the scripture, but you don't even know. Until you read it again, you don't even know what the scripture really was. 3 John 2. Y'all read 3 John 2? Beloved, which above all things, thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Right, and we preach it. And there's a message in it, don't get me wrong. But if you go and read it, he said, to my beloved Gaius, in chapter 1, in verse 1 of it. And he's writing, it's a letter. So now, beloved, which above all things, thou prosper and be in health, is a greeting. But you didn't know it was a greeting. You thought it was a teaching. It was a greeting with some principle in it. But that's good to know. Because now I can put it in. It don't really take nothing away from it. But it's just putting it in context as it's a greeting. Are you understanding me? So Paul didn't say, open up. Paul didn't say, now listen, I got a lesson for you. You know, now below, what's the ball thing? No, it's a greeting. My greeting, that was my greeting. Hello, how you doing today? I hope everything been going good.
Right, right.
y'all understand what I'm saying? But you can take scriptures out of context and then you don't know let me use your life for a minute. Just take a couple. Let me grab a. Let me go down your life timeline and grab a couple of those years and define you by it. Oh, y'all understand what I'm saying? Let me go down your life, your years. Say your age right now. Okay, now, all right. Let me go in all those years. You got 54 of those years, right? Let me jump in all those years and pick out two of them. Any two I want, and define you for the rest of history. Woo. You better get the right ones. Well, it was the story of my life, and you are a story, by the way. You do have context. So I can't take a piece of you and define your whole, because I got some pieces of me that you define me differently. Come on, all of y'all looking at me. Yeah, you too. You have a different definition. You ain't quite as I thought you was. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever it was. But now when I keep everything in context and I keep everything together, which you couldn't even do that if you wanted to, which it is. You couldn't do it if you wanted. You couldn't separate them if you wanted to. So when I keep everything in context, I got some good understanding about what's really going on. Context. What came before the scripture? What came after the scripture? What was said before? What was said after? Anytime. Listen. I'm gonna start a running doctrine, because some things you need to run. Some messages you hear, you need to run. People start taking stuff out of just bring your shoes with you. You need to get out of there, because they're about to take that scripture and make some opinion. Do I say you need to read the whole chapter every time you preach in the scripture? No, but you better know what's going on before and after, because you can't tell. Jump in the middle of the movie. And they say, Melissa said that if you don't get there in time, well, who's Melissa? We didn't even see the first one. Anybody miss the movie late before?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like you trying to catch on and be like, what happened? Tell me what happened. And they try to tell you, but they really didn't tell you details. Now you got to go back and watch it again, right? And you've lost the whole context of what was going on, so you don't even understand. So now you say the movie's stupid. That movie's so stupid. You didn't see the whole thing. Y'all get it? Context. What goes before and what comes after? So he begins to talk about, this is chapter 31. I don't know what page is in your book, but it's chapter 31. But then he starts talking about an interview he was seeing with a famous guy. And I've seen this happen before. Well, their media does this. Media is looking for clicks all the time. They don't care about, they might interview, but they don't care about your interview or getting your message out. All they care about is traffic to their website, traffic to their newspaper, traffic to their magazine, whatever they can get. So they're going to get clicks. So they'll take the most outrageous thing you say. I've seen people do it to apostles. I've seen people take apostles' message and cut it up and say something and put it on YouTube. Because we get the shutting them down, copyright stuff. But I've seen them do it. Because they look and they take it. So they take a little piece and then put it out there. And you didn't hear the sentence before and the sentence after. So I say something like, see, I'd have slapped him in the mouth. Right? But you don't realize what I said before. If I was a crazy man and I was doing crazy things, then I'll slap him in the mouth. But I'm not a crazy man. But if you take those two sentences out, then just say I'll slap him in the mouth, like a slapper. Or somebody, y'all understand what I'm saying? Everybody say context. Context. If I don't keep things in context, then I can't get the content. No context, no content. We talked about that before, right? And then if no content, no context, no content, no contact. Correct. You get it? It says, so he's talking about taking things out in an interview. So people do an hour long interview, but they don't show the hour. You ever see these 60 minutes or something like that? And they said, you know, They only give, we talk for 4 hours. Okay, where's the whole 4 hours? Right? They only show you 30 minutes. Well, you got to cut some stuff. You got to edit some things out. And sometimes you edit the stuff that's most important to the story. And now you have a totally different meaning, totally different interview, totally different meaning, totally different view on person because of the lack of context. Lack of context breeds lack of identity. People reading a lot of scriptures about Jesus and taking one statement to prove what they won't say to somebody in an argument and don't take the context of what Jesus was saying. And so now you get no power. You might win that little argument, a little battle, or whatever you're trying to do, but there's no power involved. Because if you take out the context, you take out the identity. Remember, it's all about identity. So a person can do the same thing like you're talking about, interview, they can do the same thing, the word of God. He says, watch this, in fact, every major cult is built on a violation of the principle of context. He's talking about two men that came and talking about a religious persuasion. He said they were distorting the text of scripture. He said, but a great deal of that sort of doctrinal error could be corrected by simply asking, watch this question, would you please read the previous verses or the ones that follow? Somebody try to explain something to you. You ever had somebody try to explain something to you or try to get you to turn from something that you learned or something that your man of God might have taught you and try to turn you? Well, you know the scripture said this. Okay, this is a beautiful one that they use. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the... Read before and read after, please. You don't even know who he's talking to. You don't even know what kind of people these were he's talking to. So now we're gonna get in a minute, we're going to start talking about different types of context, historical and cultural, and geographical. You got to know all these things. We talk about beginning the class in the year about using your imagination. And you remember I said, which way is the wind blowing? Where was they standing when they said it? Who was they standing with? Why was he talking like this? Y'all talk to everybody the same way? Hold on, no. Y'all, you talk to everybody the same way. You know you and Linda talk different. Right? No, I'm not. You're right. I know y'all friends. Y'all talk different than if you had to stand up and give a interview in the church. Yeah. You'd be like, well, hello, everyone. How are you? Yeah, right? We know how to do that. We do it at work a lot, too, right? Right? We're like, well, good morning. And, you know. So you don't talk the same all the time to everybody, right? They got some people that I talk to. See, my voice changed a little bit. Like, I got a little. Right? Like there's some times when I got to talk. My hands motions are different. I'm not going to be like I'm up in the clip. Like sometimes it's like, yo, what up? Right? Because I got to talk to you like that because that's how you talk. Right. So I'm going to talk to you like that because that's how you talk because that's all you understand. You take me out of context. You don't know my geography. You don't know I'm in the hood talking right now. You don't know my geography. Why are you so aggressive? You don't know where I'm at. You don't know why I need to be aggressive like this right now. Context. Everybody say context. Come on, say context. What comes with the text? There's several kinds of context. Each one's give a different slant on whatever passage you're considering. And this is going to help you. Once again, we're not getting away from the fact that the word of God is Jesus in the flesh. So all of it is leading to Christ Jesus and the person of Christ. If you ever read something and if you ever get a principle without the person, you're going to lose. If you ever try to operate in a principle without the person, you'll have no power. The personality of Christ. You ever heard somebody say, make the word personal? How do you do that? You put your name in it. Yeah, right. That's good. I'm glad you said that. That's in the Malachi. You put our name in it. So now we didn't put our name in it. We made it personal. When actually, right? And that's good. But really personalizing it is taking the person of Christ and putting it behind that thing. Now you made it a person. How many principles we've tried to walk in without the person? And so we've got no power. How many times we tried to work the word? Right? That's a cool phrase. We work the word, but there's no person behind that. See, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that just him being alive and doing the things that he did gave a a personal reference gave a what's the word I'm looking for? It helped me. It gave me a personal relationship. Helped me relate. It helped me be able to relate to the power because it was in person, just like me. You get it? If it was a bunch of principles and there was no person that was living as the Word made flesh, then I'd be in trouble. Because I'm trying to do something, and I'm just going to be working hard. I remember even when I was younger, I didn't realize that Jesus was talking to me about me. I thought he was Superman. And he came and did all this great stuff, and he came and died. And, you know, April coming, so, you know, we better get on the Easter stuff, right? And he came and died and shed his blood, so now I can go to heaven. I didn't know he was telling me, you too. That person. You get it? And so everything was out of context to me. I had Jesus out of context, because it was years, and I was younger, so I don't even remember, but it was years before I heard that he said, the works that I do, you do also. That puts the whole story in context. Just right there. That puts the whole, so that means all that stuff you was doing and all that stuff you talking about me. Context. Everybody say context.
Context.
It's important. You get your identity from the context. You can identify the text with the context. So it's literary context. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And, you know, we know verse 8, because that's the one we like. And so we can be biblically selective. So we start finding these scriptures to try to find a scripture for it to put the word on it. Right? And it's a good print. Do that. But find it with the context. Because if you pick out chapter 8, verse 8, look at verse 8. And y'all know this one, right? Mm-hmm. But you just see power after the Holy Ghost come upon you and should be witnessing you both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? And we just take that. That's good, right? We're going to receive power, right? But then you got to read up verse 7. Now, if you know the times of the season with the Father putting in, all you need to know is you're going to receive power. You see it? Then, and he goes, I'm going to read it in the paragraph in the book, but then he says, in verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight, which now says that was his last words. Now it gives some more power to what he was saying. That's the word that you leave me with. It ain't just the thing you were saying. No, you left me with this one. Like, these were the ones you knew. These are the ones you wanted to leave me with. See the concept? But if I don't ever read verse 9, I don't really. Like, verse 8 got power. But then verse 9 be like, oh, I need to carry this on. Context. Y'all see it? So in the paragraph he says, in Acts chapter 1, verse example, chapter 6, we saw an illustration of literary context. That is, the words before and after verse 8. The literary context of any verse is the paragraph of which it is a part, the section of which the paragraph is a part. Listen to what the context is. The literary context of any verse is the paragraph of which it is a part. Now, we know the Bible is written in verses. So now you have to pay attention to colons, semicolons, periods, comma. What do you do with a comma? You pause. You pause and you keep reading. What do you do with a period? Stop. Now everybody have another thought. Right? You parentheses, all these different things we learn in literature. Right? So now we got to understand. So now, literary context of any verse is the paragraph. So now you got to look for a paragraph. So now you got to do a little studying now. Now you got to get in there and see where the last period was. Because wherever the last period was, that's the starting, wherever it's coming to where you at. And that verse might be in the middle of a whole paragraph, or it might be middle of a run-on sentence. You know, run-on sentences, right? A lot of run-on sentences. But it might be in the middle of that. You got to know where it's at. So now it's the paragraph, you have to know the verse is the paragraph of which is a part of, the section of which the paragraph is a part of, and the book which the section is a part of. And given the unity of scriptures, the ultimate context is the entire Bible. Again, the ultimate context is the entire Bible. So you got to figure out what paragraph this was in, what part of story, what story was this paragraph a part of, right? And then what chapter all this in to understand. You know what I get and get?
Understanding.
Take a little work, don't it? Historical context. In other words, when is this taking place? Right now, I'll give you some context. Pardon the pun, right? The New Testament was written in Greek. Old Testament written in Hebrew. It's much more difficult language. Hebrew was built on a lot of sounds and the way it was said. And even though we have tones and the way we say things, they had some letters that don't even make a sound. Whoa, that's crazy. Right? But it's the idea and the context. So Hebrew, Greek. That's enough context right there to let you know what's going on or why that happened. Well, see, they were trying to, in order to spread the gospel more, they wanted to write the New Testament in Greek because Greek was a more widespread language. Hebrew was to one culture. They only had that one culture speaking Hebrew. But Greek was spread out. A lot of people was learning Greek. So we're going to translate it into that because more people can get the gospel. Are you understanding me? So now they got words in the Greek, and then yours is in what? Your Bible in what? What language your Bible in? Oh, English. And that, English is a very young language. English is a derivative of all other languages. The most recent one is Latin. Now you got to go back and all through that. So now there's a word in your English Bible in the New Testament that has a different meaning than the word, the same word in your English Bible in the Old Testament. So now you got to have context so you can know what's going on. Y'all get me? There's a good Bible I have called the Strong's Concordance. I have it on my I have an Olive Tree Bible. I have it on here. So now when I get to certain words, I can click it and find the definition. I can find the Greek word and what the original definition was. You'd be surprised how much stuff you've been talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many words you're using. Our description, you read them, you're like, see, this is what this saying. No, you don't know what they're saying because you don't know the meaning of it. Study. Show yourself approved. Rightly divided. I get it? When is it taking place? Where does this passage fit in history? What else was taking, listen to what I'm talking about. What else was taking place in the world at this time? What were some of the social, political, and technological influences on the writer and those whom he was writing? Boy, that's a lot of stuff. I'm going to read that one again. When was this taking place? Where does this passage fit in the history? Because you have to know where it fits in history because there are other things going on. Like when we read the Bible is a story of one lineage. Going all the way down. I started reading the book of Matthew today and started talking about who begat who. And it goes all and says 14 generations from them and 14 generations from them and 14 generations from them. All the way from the front, all the way down to Jesus. Are y'all getting me? And so now, I know Abraham lived in a different time than David. Different political advances. Then you got to realize there are other things going on in the other places of the world. So what's going on right now? Why did they speak this way? Why did they do it like this? You get some understanding. Where does the passage fit in history? What else is taking place in the world at this time? Like I even learned out the book I got, it's called Killing Jesus. And I read the book, I'm not gonna say the author name because you're gonna start judging the guy. And so I don't want you to judge the man. He wrote a really good book. And it's totally historical. It has nothing to do with opinion, but in his time, he's breaking down what's going on during the time when Jesus is living and the whole process of it. Why was he crucified other than being beheaded? Right? Because there were several different ways to murder somebody they thought was guilty or something. Why was this such a big deal when Jesus said this? Why when Jesus started talking about the kingdom of God that they were so up in arms? Why was Herod so mad when they talked about Jesus was born? So you have to understand these things because there are certain political things that are going on at the time. Like right now, y'all know the climate of our country. Huh? Well, that makes a difference, don't it? It makes a difference on how we function now. Do y'all remember when they had the recession? The most recent one? And the housing market was down and all things kind of, well, that made a difference to what was going on and how we reacted. Although we know we stood on the word of God and we were standing on the word of God, we weren't in fear, it still made a difference. Now, when somebody tells your story about standing on the word of God, they have to mention, because it makes it more strong and it gives me more testimony when I mention that you didn't lose a dollar in the midst of a recession when everybody else did. So now the historical time makes your faith stand out and gives me hope. So now when another one come, well, I knew with Calvin, and he stood through the recession, ain't nothing changed because he stood on faith and didn't lose hope. So now your testimony has everything to do with your historic time. Context, everybody say context. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus had a context as a person. Jesus. We talk about him. Jesus. They ain't know who his daddy was. Remember, people in the Bible didn't know they was in the Bible. So we didn't read the whole story. We didn't seen the resurrection. And we know all that already. So now this is such a little great story we got. No. Let's go there and let's read this. Let's look at the story like we don't know what happened next. Can you use your imagination for a quick second? Now here she come pregnant, ain't married. And they're a little bit more stiff, and we stiff. We stiff when it come down to that. Like, we're going to judge. Right? But they ready to put you out. They ready to stone you, shut it down. Get out of here. You defiled us. You defiled my family. Context. Can I give you a little context real quick? Did you know that Solomon was born of a murderous and adulterous relationship? Yeah. David had committed adultery. David, the man of God's own heart. Committed adultery. I'm in context, though. Boy, I should show you some grace and mercy. Grace and mercy ain't just starting the New Testament. Y'all better recognize. You better recognize. Committed adultery with the man while he going out of walk. Then sent the man back out to the front line. And then wrote a letter. No, go, I ain't ready. He wrote a fake letter. Acting like he was the dude, Uriah. He wrote a letter acting like he, because Uriah said, nah, I'm gonna come home in a little while so I can lay with my wife. Well, he didn't want to do that because she was already pregnant. So David writes a letter, context. Now we know what's going on, but Solomon is born from this. The wisest man who ever lived, besides Jesus. Wow, context. That story kind of changes my perspective. And now I ain't beating myself up that bad. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna beat them up that bad or judge them that bad, because who knows what Solomon. Everybody say context. Context. Context is more than just reading a couple of scriptures too. Jesus said context, they didn't know who his daddy was. See, y'all read the story we hear about the angel. The angel came and talked to him. The angel came and talked to Mary. Yeah, wasn't nobody else over there but her. Right. So now we gotta take her word for her. Y'all playing context. Get up there and say, I'm about to have a baby. I ain't been with no man. And the angel came down and told me, the spirit gonna come upon me and I'm gonna have a baby. I'm pregnant now. What are they telling you in 2018? You a lie, get on your knees. You a lie and the truth ain't in you.
Oh, you'd be out of church.
Gone. For that story, it's over with. Get out. Because people in the Bible didn't know they was in the Bible. So now this young girl, she's about 12 or 13. Context. Children's church. Context. No, I'm serious. Children's church. Use her parent, you're a killer. Y'all get what I'm saying? Context. And she come here and she not married. Now Joseph got to believe God. Who you been with? What you mean the Holy Spirit came upon you? Who is this Holy Spirit you're talking about? Look, y'all get what I'm saying? Where he at? What? Now I gotta, an angel gotta come talk to Joseph. Nah, then we gotta take both of y'all words. Context. Everybody say context. Now we gotta take, Jesus had context. Now we gotta take both of y'all words. Then y'all ran away. Y'all eloped.
Ain't no
And of all places, you went to Egypt. And said, the Lord told you to go over there. The place we got delivered from slavery all them years. Oh, context. Come on, context. Then when he get older, he come from Nazareth. That's the hood. He doing all kind of stuff. He eating corn on days he ain't supposed to eat corn. He ain't washing his hands before he eat. Although the elders say, you better wash your hands. He healing people on the Sabbath. Context. Now you got to understand. You want to know some good context? This is all context. And I saw it context, literal context, reading the scripture before and the paragraphs and all that, but then you historical, then you use your imagination. All these, they got historical context and cultural context and all these different things. And I saw that Jesus put his life on the line before he put his life on the line. For before that thing that you said was him actually putting his life on the line, you know, going to the cross, and he put his life on the line before that. Many times. They wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. Right. He told them, Jerusalem, y'all know what y'all talking about. And it was the holy city. Jesus, I found out last night, I'm just having a conversation, that Jesus put himself in the line of fire to get killed when he was talking with that woman they were going to stone. Remember now, because he didn't stand from over here and was like, I'm going to draw in the sand over here. No, he over there where she at. Right. And then didn't say nothing. These guys got rocks already.
Right.
It's about to go down. Right. 2018, it's a firing squad. They got the guns, cocked them, and we about to blast off. Yep. And you got the nerve to walk up and get in front of her? And don't say nothing. Don't say stop. You know, that's us. Stop, don't shoot. No. He was out saying, Castor, pull the first trigger. You don't know, it might have been a wild boy up there. Bow, right? Put himself in harm's way. Context. Context. So he didn't just save the woman, he used his life to save her. Come on, y'all. Context. See, it all has context, and it means more to you now, don't it? That story means more to you now, don't it? Now, he even means more. Like, the audacity that you would do this. For this woman. Cultural context. Culture has a power of influence on all forms of communication, and the cultures in the biblical times had a profound effect on the creation of the Bible. So the more you know about the ancient cultures, the more insight you have into the text. Because this is just so important, I'll come back to chapter 33, which you might go over there. So now the culture, what's the culture going on? What's going on in the culture? I'll show you what's going on in the culture. There's some people that are trying to do some things right now based off something that went on 20 years ago. You can't. Because this is a whole nother day. Roles different, direction different, phones different, the internet is different, how you watch things, how you see, it's all different. So now you got to be up to date on the processing of it. The culture has changed. You remember white only fountain? White only, black only, right? Black bathroom, white bathroom, well, it changed. Culture has changed. Some stuff still remains. But the culture has a different function. We wonder why schools are different now. My mother would say, well, it wasn't until we started segregating that things got wild in school. And she would tell me stuff like that, right? But then things have changed, so now everything changes because of the culture. So now the culture at the specific time that something is written has a major effect on the understanding of that thing. I read in a book that they used to do, they would behead them, they would crucify them, sometimes they would hang them. That's how the way they would kill the convicts in those days. Right? But they said crucifixion was the worst because they wanted to make an example out of you. So that's why they make you go through the streets. They beat you up a good bit, then bring you out beat up and parade you through the streets. Y'all gonna hear the story next month during Easter. Then parade you through the streets. Then they put you on, and they say, King of the Jews. Right? because it was meant to be embarrassing. They picked the worst soldiers to do that because they were meant to embarrass people. But now you know the culture. Now you know why they did it that way. So it wasn't just about them dying. It was about the shame. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? So the cultural context. What color was these people? When I go start talking to the woman, all right, you know the story about the Good Samaritan? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see, if you don't know the culture, then you don't know the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. Good Samaritan to an Asian might be the good Negroes. Mm-hmm. Y'all get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or the good this, or the good that. Because there were cultural divides. Mm-hmm. Racial tension. So you get talking to a woman at the well, she's a Samaritan. He said, what you talking to me for? Y'all ain't got no dealing with us.
Right. Y'all ain't talking.
Y'all don't talk to us, and then you in trouble for talking because don't be having this interracial dating going on. Now, hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all talking cross races. No. Context. Everybody say context.
Context.
But now you know the cultural context. Yeah. Now, so we don't deal with each other. So that's why Jesus told him, a woman, you don't know where you worship at. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you worship. Mm-hmm. They start getting context. They start getting our business. I mean, yeah, you're right. You said you ain't mad because the one you with ain't your husband. And you done had, Dawada prophet. Context. Good Samaritan was such a big story. He said the priest came and the Levite is the worshipers, the one that set apart for the work of the Lord, right? They passed on by the man. Man hurting, injured on the side of the road, the priest passed by. That's what he called him, Levite, passed by. But then the Samaritan, the reason they used Samaritan, because in their culture, the Samaritan was a little less cultured than they were. That's something, ain't it? Cultural context. But Jesus used that to tell the story because he said them Samaritan better than your priest. So listen now, you got to understand why they wanted to kill the man. Now you understand why they weren't just killing him because, well, it was, you know, it was prophesied that he going to die. No. These people was hot. You told me a low-life Samaritan is better than my Levite? Context. Cultural context. Remember the woman that snuck in that man's house and was wiping Jesus' feet with her hair? She's a prostitute. Huh? But she's in a holy man's house. I mean, they could kill her. Context. You realize how serious the situation was and how much grace, abounding grace, Jesus walked in that situation. One with issue of blood. Context, cultural context. You got an issue of blood, you got a problem when you start bleeding different places. No, we got to put you off somewhere. Jesus with the 10 lepers. Let's do context, cultural context. There were leper colonies outside of the city and they couldn't come to the city. They come to the city, they kill them because it was contagious. He talking to 10 of them. But the culture says, you can't do that. You can't talk to them. Mm-hmm. Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. Do you realize that I look up the word sinner in the Greek, and one of the definitions is tax collector? No, I'm lying. I'm clearly on the ground. That's how they felt at the cultural time. So now Zacchaeus, he the top tax collector in the city. You know he a big sinner in their mind. You get it? Context, man. And not only that, but he was like just making up numbers of what the taxes was gonna be. Well, you know we're gonna take this much. And then he was one of them. Like, don't sell your brother out. You one of us. But now you working for them people. Context. Cultural context. So now when Jesus come, and all these people around here, and Jesus say, hey, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm coming to your house. Ooh, the crowd. What are you doing? You don't know? This man been taking our money? Jesus had to take a hit in the culture. And the man and his whole house get saved. Zacchaeus is such a great, something about Jesus and the grace and love of Jesus that he approached people with. I think people saw themselves when they saw him. They saw what they should look like and it demanded change from them. Just because of the love. And so now Zacchaeus said, I have to give up everything. Look, I give back twice, double what did I take from people? I know I've been sinning, I give it all back. What is this? Context. It shows the context of what's going on. This is a man that's not giving nobody no breaks. Then you meet Jesus and wants to give it all up, give it all back. That whole house gets saved. Cultural context. Y'all see that? Now it makes a boy. You thought you loved Jesus before, didn't you? We're a little deeper in this love thing. Now, geographic context. Geography is a fascinating subject that is incredibly relevant to the interpretation of Scripture. In Mark 4, we saw the miracle of stilling the storm and point out that the geographic features around the Sea of Galilee that bring about storms like that. Knowing that information lends tremendous relevance and realism to Mark's account. It also gives us a clue as to how violent that particular storm must have been. It terrified the fishermen who had seen a lifetime of storms on that lake. The geographic. So now you start seeing the geography, right? You start seeing what's going on. What city were they in? Now, if you really got deep and really start doing historical study and start doing the times up, you'll see what was going on. And I like stuff like that. I really go back and do a lot of stuff like that to see what was going on in Galilee. What was going on in his places? Like Jesus was going in these places and didn't know how they was going to receive him. He knew what he believed. He knew what he was there for. So it wasn't really about that. But he was like, we don't know what the custom is over here. Investigating the geographical context answers questions such as, what was the terrain like? What topographic features made this region unique? What was, you know, he's talking about Jesus talked on the mount. Sermon on the mount. Right? All right. What was the weather like? How far was this town from the places mentioned in the text? What were the transportation routes for these people? Oh, and you know they was walking. Huh? Come on, so we're gonna go on the mission field. We're gonna walk to Alabama. Preach the gospel. We're gonna stop all the little towns on the way there. Right. And you got all them going with you. And then you start telling stuff like, yeah, when you go, don't take no purse or don't take no money with you or no script. Cultural. Come on, y'all. Just leave your debit card at home. Just get in the car and start driving. Faith. Stepping out on the water. Context. Everybody say context. What's the transition routes for these people? What size city was this? What was the layout of this town? What was the location known for? You get it? Because you got to know. Some of these places were unreligiousized. They were kind of living the law, but they kind of wasn't. So now it's a different ballgame. Theological context. Theology is a study of the Bible. Theological context. The question here is, watch this. And you may not ever ask this question. So different authors that write different parts of the Bible. What did the author know about God? Now, Joshua 1:8. You know what Joshua 1:8 says? Come on, you know. This book of law is not the part of the Bible, that's the method and then, right? But that book ain't this book. Well, that's way back in Joshua. What no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Philippians, Ephesians. Ain't none of that. So that book wasn't this book. Context. Well, y'all get me. What did the author know about God? Abraham, he knew that God talked to him, but I didn't know you was a redeemer. I didn't know that. Some things I knew, some things I didn't know. Abraham was the father of faith, but his faith was wavering sometimes. They told me he was going to have a baby. When he old, they start laughing at God, the father of faith. Context. What did he know about God? Well, he knew enough about God because when God gave him Isaac, he knew when God, and that was enough to tell him, when God told him, now take him up there and it's time to sacrifice. Give it back. I gave it to, now I want it back. Context. Ain't no book to read. There was no, well, you know, the Bible says that he's going to come through as a ram in a thicket. We didn't know. We didn't know they had no ram in a thicket. Matter of fact, we only say ram in a thicket because of that story. So we don't know there's somebody. So now people in the Bible don't know that in the Bible. So when you're going up this hill, you got to kill your child. Mm-hmm. You don't know on the other end they got a ram.
Right.
So now the context. Whoo, what does the person know about God? What did Noah know about God? What did Abraham? What did Jacob? What did Isaac? What did Isaac Jacob? Right? What did Joseph? What did they know about God? Joseph going through all that stuff. What did he know? Because you're gonna write according to what you know. There's some messages. I tell you, I've been preaching for a while now. I started preaching when I was 18, right? I told somebody the other day, some messages I want to go back and just burn them. Like, delete. Delete this man, because I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I knew. I might have been repeating what somebody was saying. I had a good little sermon, little 1-2 punch. But, like, now what I know now, right, trumps what I knew about God. You can say that about your life right now, don't it? What you know now? Just being in this school this semester, right? Oh, Lord. Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too, y'all. Me too. Right? It's like, I thought I knew God. I met him brand new. Who are you? Right? It's a whole nother thing. So now you're writing your whole different world. So now your account right now will be totally different than your account 10 years ago. 20 minutes ago, right? Like your account will be different. But you'd write according to what you know about God. What was the relationship of his readers to God? I'll give you a good one. Paul was a murderer. Paul was murdering a Christian. Paul was a Jew of the Jews. Paul was one of the ones that said, Jesus ain't get up. Y'all stop talking about this Jesus stuff, spreading this heresy. You just trying to change our religion. I hear you saying, I'm going to kill you. Matter of fact, I'm just going to kill you. Knocked off a beast. Talked to the Lord. Went blind, had to go find the man. The man had to tell him what's going on. Now he get converted. So now, I don't know nothing. So Paul get to talk and say, I don't know nothing save Jesus Christ and crucified. He said, not as though I've already apprehended. I've done all this. I was the Jew of the Jew. I was this, but not as though I already apprehended. One thing. I ain't looking for nothing else. That's all I know. I count everything I learned as dumb. Context. Even his life had a context. So now you see why he speaks like he speaks. That I may know him. I don't save no nothing except Jesus Christ and crucified. He had a moment with him. This is a relationship with God. How did people worship him at this point? Huh? Because we be talking about people. The greatest story I love is Solomon. Before he had the dream. And they say he did 1,000 burnt offerings. Right? Well, we say, you know what, you don't understand what 1,000 burnt offerings is. Take 1,000 big cows. You're going to kill it. Mm-hmm. You're going to break it down. You're going to drain it of the blood. You're going to break it down like you got to break it down. And then you're going to drag it to the altar and you're going to burn it. And you got to wait till it's burned all the way. Because ain't a real sacrifice till it's all gone. Right? You're going to do it 999 more times. And this is how they used to worship God. This is how they used to pay for they call it atonement. Right? Now what you say? Father, forgive me. Ain't that something? Right, these would be able to kill them. How did they worship? How much scripture did the writer and his audience have access to? What other religions and worldviews were competing for influence? I remember they got one, I'm going to say this one, then we'll be done. They got one section where Paul gets to a city and they don't know some stuff had happened. They had been praying. They didn't know who they were praying. And they got a big thing say, to the unknown God. You can read it in there. And so Paul used that as an alley-oop, jumped on it and said, I'm going to tell you who this God you say you don't know is, and start preaching Jesus. And the people begin to believe. They try to start worshiping him. Start telling him he was a God. He's like, no, let me get out of here. He tore his clothes. You people ain't understanding what I'm saying? Cultural. What did they know about God? Theological. What was going on at the time? Y'all get it? Context. So that's chapter, you want to read chapter 33. That was 31, but if you read chapter 33, you'll start talking about cultural and then go deeper. Into what cultural context is.